Akhatra Foundation presents The Akhatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akhatra AI. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into the mindset of someone, well, truly iconic, Michael Jordan. His name is basically synonymous with basketball greatness, right?
Absolutely. Defines it.
Exactly. But we're not just here to talk about the dunks and the championships, amazing as they were. Jordan's legacy, it goes deeper. It's really rooted in this powerful philosophy almost about life and success.
That's spot on. And for this deep dive, we're really digging into the core ideas from his book, I Can't Accept Not Trying. Which, you know, it's interesting because it's not your typical autobiography.
Oh, right. How so?
Well, it's more like a manifesto.
You know?
It distills his whole mindset, what drove him. So our mission today is basically to unpack those key principles he lived by.
And see how they apply to us. Right. To you. Listening.
Exactly. Whether you're, you know, on a court, in an office, wherever.
Mm. Okay. So Jordan, credibility isn't really a question here, is it? I mean, 6 NBA titles, 5 MVPs, 2 Olympic golds. The list is just staggering.
Totally staggering. But here's the thing that makes him, I think, uniquely qualified to talk about this stuff, especially trying. It isn't just the wins.
You mean the struggles?
Yes.
Yeah.
The struggles. People kind of gloss over them or they're like footnotes. But they were absolutely fundamental. Remember, he famously got cut from his high school varsity team.
Right. I remember hearing that. Huge disappointment for him, apparently.
Huge. He himself says it was the thing that kicked off that legendary work ethic. And then, you know, his early NBA years, years of tough playoff losses, massive public pressure, all that scrutiny.
So those setbacks weren't just bumps in the road.
No, not at all. They were the fire, the crucible, where that incredible resolve was forged. It wasn't handed to him.
Yeah, that really changes the narrative. It's not just, oh, he was naturally gifted. It was earned, forged, like you said.
Exactly. And look beyond basketball, too. He built the Jordan brand, a multi-billion dollar empire. He's a successful team owner. These principles clearly work off the court, too.
Okay, so let's get to the core idea of the book. The title says it all, I Can't Accept Not Trying. The ultimate failure isn't missing the shot. It's not taking it. Sounds simple, but wow.
It does sound simple, but it's profound when you really think about it. Jordan's saying that real growth, personally, professionally, it all comes from the process, the effort, the commitment, yeah, but also having the guts to face losing.
So the fear of failing is the real enemy here.
That's what he argues, yeah. That's the biggest obstacle. So embracing that failure might happen, well, that's actually key to succeeding. It's a mindset shift.
Oh, sir.
It means trying itself becomes a win. And any setback, it's just data, feedback, information for the next attempt. It's not the end of the world.
I like that. Trying as a victory. It reframes everything. Okay, so let's unpack this Jordan operating system then, starting with the internal stuff, like how he dealt with fear, and then moving outwards to execution and teamwork. Sound good?
Sounds great. Let's dive in.
Okay, first pillar, redefining failure. That quote you mentioned is powerful. I can accept failure. Everyone fails at something, but I can't accept not trying. It feels like his personal mantra.
Oh, absolutely. And he didn't just say it. He lived it. And he put numbers on it, numbers most people would frankly want to hide. He actually quantified his failures.
Really? Like how?
He said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed.
Wow, 9,000 missed shots, 300 losses, 26 missed game winners.
And then he follows it up with, I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed.
Hearing those actual numbers, it just hits different, doesn't it? It completely shreds that idea of him just being perfect or lucky. His failures are literally part of his success story.
They are his success story, in a way. And the crucial thing, the liberating part, is how this shifts your focus. It moves it away from the outcome, which you often can't control anyway, right?
Right. So many external factors.
Exactly. And it shifts focus to the effort, which is always internal. Always yours to control.
Hmm.
It's about just doing it without freezing up because you might fail. The trying is the point.
It frees you from needing everything to be perfect before you even start.
Totally. That paralysis of perfectionism, this cuts right through it.
So for you listening, just think about that for a second. When you hear those numbers, what hits you? How many times have you maybe held back because you are afraid of missing that shot, whatever the shot is in your life?
It's a powerful question to ask yourself.
Okay, so if accepting failure frees us up to actually try, then the next piece is, well, how do you aim for something huge, like becoming the greatest? Jordan's approach wasn't maybe what you'd guess.
No, not at all. He didn't just wake up day one and say, right, greatest of all time, here I come, or even NBA champ. It was way more grounded.
So what was it then?
Remember him getting cut from varsity. His big goal right after that wasn't world domination. It was simply get good enough to make the team next year.
That's it. Just make the team.
That was the immediate driving goal. And then each little win making the team, then starting, then winning in college, each one built on the last, step by step. It created momentum.
That really demystifies things, doesn't it? Makes huge achievements feel less like some impossible dream and more like, well, climbing a staircase.
Exactly. It's a disciplined step-by-step process, not a giant, terrifying leap.
So the lesson is that these huge, maybe overwhelming goals, they're built out of lots of small, manageable steps.
Precisely. It makes you think, doesn't it? What about your big goals? Can you break them down? What's the very first step you can take, today or tomorrow?
Yeah, makes it feel much more doable. Okay, next up, commitment. We all see the talent, right? It's undeniable with Jordan. But the book says there's something more, something that really separates talent from true, lasting greatness.
Yeah, and that key thing is commitment. Yeah. Jordan's take is basically, talent is a starting point, but commitment is what sustains and elevates it. It's not just saying you want it. It's this deep promise to do the hard yards.
The unglamorous stuff.
Exactly. The daily grind, the practice when no one's watching. That's the difference maker.
And he definitely walked the talk there. His practice ethic is legendary.
Oh, totally. First guy in the gym, last guy out. That whole love of the game clause in his contract, it let him play pickup games whenever he wanted, just to keep playing, keep homing.
Just pure love for the work itself.
And that relentless preparation.
Yeah.
It wasn't just physical. It gave him this huge psychological edge. He knew he'd outworked everyone. That belief is powerful.
He knew he'd earned it. But, you know, this level of commitment, it makes you wonder, is there a line between that kind of dedication and maybe just stubbornness? Or even burnout? Does the book touch on that? When is not trying actually wise?
That's a really insightful question. The book doesn't explicitly talk about burnout like we might today, but his emphasis on loving the game suggests his commitment came from somewhere deep inside, not just external pressure. The not trying he rejects is about giving up on opportunity out of fear, not about, say, strategic rest or knowing when to pivot.
Okay, so it's about the why behind the commitment. Is it passion or obligation?
Right. And it makes you ask yourself, doesn't it?
Huh.
Are you willing to pay that price for excellence, to do the consistent, sometimes boring work? And is that drive coming from a place of real commitment?
Food for thought. Okay, let's move to the bedrock. We see the highlights, the dunks, the fadeaways. But the book talks about something less flashy underpinning all that.
Yeah, the fundamentals. He was apparently almost obsessive about the basics. Footwork, defensive stance, jump shot mechanics, even his free throw routine. Simple, repeatable stuff.
The boring drills.
The boring drills. He practiced them endlessly because his philosophy was super practical. Under pressure, you don't rise to the occasion. You fall back on the level of your training.
Ah, okay. So when the pressure's on, you revert to your habits, your most ingrained skills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you better make sure those ingrained skills are rock solid. The flashiness, the creativity that only comes after you've mastered the basics so completely they're automatic.
It's like you can't improvise jazz until you master the scales. The fundamentals give you the freedom to create later.
Perfect analogy. You need that disciplined foundation before you can really perform at a high level or be truly creative when it counts.
It's fascinating how often we skip that step, right? In our jobs, our hobbies, we want the spectacular result without perfecting the basics. Makes you think, where could you shore up your fundamentals? What's that foundational work you might be neglecting?
A great question for any field.
Okay, final pillar.
Yeah.
Teamwork. Jordan was, for a long time, Mr. Individual Dominance, a one-man show almost. But the Bulls dynasty wasn't built just on him. How did that shift happen?
Well, you're right. In his early years, he was scoring like crazy, winning scoring titles, but no championships. The team wasn't getting over the hump.
So what changed?
The big turning point was Coach Phil Jackson and the triangle offense. That system required Jordan to trust his teammates more, to pass the ball, to move without the ball. It forced a shift.
He had to buy into the idea that the team's success was more important than his individual stats.
Essentially, yes. He had to embrace that famous idea. Talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence win championships. He had to evolve his definition of winning.
And his leadership must have changed, too.
Absolutely. It became less about just demanding things from others and more about leading by setting an almost impossibly high standard for himself. He challenged teammates, for sure, but only because he was pushing himself even harder.
Leading by example, literally.
Exactly. He wouldn't ask for anything he wasn't doing himself tenfold. He became the engine driving the team's collective standard.
That's a huge lesson for any kind of team, isn't it? Moving from just personal achievement to lifting the whole group. It makes you think. How does your excellence help the team? How do you contribute to that shared goal?
Vital questions in any collaborative setting.
And it's crucial to stress, like we said earlier, these aren't just lessons for athletes. The book makes it clear these ideas apply everywhere.
Oh, completely. Take your career, that vague goal, get promoted. You can break it down. What specific skills do you need? What small steps can you take? Just like Jordan aimed to make the team.
And reframing failures.
A project doesn't work out? Okay, that's not a disaster. It's data. What did you learn? How do you iterate? It takes the sting out and makes it productive.
Learning a new skill too, maybe.
Yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm. Embrace being clumsy at first. Focus on the fundamentals before you expect to be brilliant. And even just for personal well-being, detaching your self-worth from whether you win or lose, succeed or fail externally, that's huge for reducing anxiety, for freeing you up to try new things.
So these are really blueprints for, well, a more intentional high-performance approach to life in general. Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive, the core message isn't about some magical God-given talent. It's about a mindset you can actually cultivate, where effort is what counts most, and failure isn't an endpoint, it's a teacher.
Well put. It's a shift in perspective.
So if we boil it down to three key takeaways, emotionally, I think the most powerful lesson is that liberating power of redefining failure, just separating your self-worth from the outcome, that frees you up enormously to just try.
That's huge. And intellectually, the big takeaway has to be that excellence is a system. It's learnable. It's built block by block through effort, practice, mastering the basics. It's not magic. It's a blueprint you can actually follow.
Right. It's methodical. And finally, the most practical, universal lesson seems to be that your legacy, your success, it's built daily. It's in the small decisions, the consistent commitment to the process, not just waiting for some big bang moment.
Exactly. It's the day in, day out choices. Which leads to a final thought, maybe building on Jordan's whole idea.
Go for it.
The biggest risk isn't really aiming high and falling short. The real risk is never aiming high at all. It's choosing the safety of okay over the chance to find out what you're truly capable of. So the question for everyone listening is, what will you choose to try next, knowing that failure isn't the end, but just feedback on your path?
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.